Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show special edition, dropping late on a Wednesday night, or possibly early on a Thursday morning, but we are talking realignment. I didn't think we'd get to this point this soon in the life cycle of college sports, but here we are back again with potentially massive realignment news. Brent Zwerneman of the Houston Chronicle reported on Wednesday that Texas and Oklahoma had reached out to the SEC about potentially becoming members of the SEC. Texas A&M is not happy about this. Of course, nobody else in the Big 12 is happy about this. This is going to be a very interesting story as it develops. We know from 2010 and 2011 what happens with this stuff. If somebody makes a move, if a big brand, a power conference team makes a move to another power conference, the dominoes tend to go a little bit crazy. That could definitely happen here with two massive brands in Texas and Oklahoma. The statements from the SEC and Texas and Oklahoma, very, very vague. The statement from Texas A&M, very decisive. The statement from Oklahoma State, very decisive. We're going to find out a lot more as we move forward in the next few weeks, but Max Olson and I tried to break it down as best we can for you in the very early stages of a developing story that is going to have massive repercussions across the world of college sports. The thought of major realignment did not seem likely unless Texas or Oklahoma wanted to do something. And so we hadn't heard anything definitive about either one wanting to move. Now, Texas did not confirm this. Oklahoma did not confirm this. The SEC did not confirm this. But you know what they also didn't do?
They sure did not deny it.
No, Texas said something about speculation swirling. That's an exact quote. Oklahoma said something about the college athletics landscape, quote unquote, shifting constantly. Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, who happened to be sitting smack in the middle of SEC media days, I believe he might have been walking down Radio Row when this dropped, said that they were worried about the 2021 season, which is not no, and also that it was a report that cited unnamed sources and he wouldn't comment on it. Also not no.
I think that, you know, we can do the classic Office Space, you know, you pull out your jump to conclusions, Matt, here and go all over the place. But I think you start there. The fact that that I think has to scare everybody that there was no denial of this, that this is not, probably not just smoke. You know, it has to be taken very seriously that this could go down. What the timetable is on that, what are the parameters of that kind of a deal? What does it mean for the Big 12? Like, there's a million questions that come from this. And certainly the first thing that popped up in all this, Andy, when everything hit the fan was Ross Bjork, the Texas A&M athletic director, on standby saying, "We are not about this."
Yeah, no, A&M does not want this at all. I will give everybody one guess as to where the leak came from. This is the equivalent of, and I'm not saying it's Ross Bjork, but I am saying it came from someone at Texas A&M. Is the equivalent of someone on the very fast-moving train pulling that emergency brake and saying, please, please stop before you keep sliding any further. But
They pulled the fire alarm and everyone had to run outside and figure out what the heck's going on.
Yeah. I understand Texas A&M's reasoning for this. They left the Big 12 for the SEC to get away from Texas, to be the only SEC program in the state of Texas. That's an important piece of their identity as of 2012. But if you are the SEC,
they could get it in writing that Texas is not invited to the SEC for 100 years. They would have loved to do that.
They would have. But if you're the SEC, if you're the other schools in the SEC, and you have the possibility to add Texas and Oklahoma and the money, present and future, that those two particular brands could bring to your league, you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And evidently, Andy, you know, I think we've all been sleeping well, thinking, well, this will 2023, we'll get there, right? We're going to pop open this big old can of college football worms then, and as we get closer to, you know, 23, 24, 25, when it's time to work through these deals. And instead, potentially, if the Houston Chronicle's reporting is correct, this could be happening way more imminently than just a few years down the road here.
Right. You're not doing this to do this in a few years. You're doing this to do it as quickly as possible, because nobody wants to be in this weird lame duck universe. And
no,
we at The Athletic have also done a lot of reporting on this ourselves on Wednesday night. You've talked to people. I've talked to people, Stuart Mandel, Sam Kahn, our tech expert, Nicole Auerbach, Matt Fortuna. We've all been working the phones, Bruce Feldman. We've talked to quite a few people and put together a timeline of sorts. And where this seems to really have taken off is a few months ago, the Big 12 had a TV consultant who had gone to Fox and ESPN, who are the network's partner or the network partners of the league, and said, hey, our current TV rights deal does not expire until after the 2024-25 school year, but we would be open to the idea of negotiating early for a new one if you guys were. And usually what that means is we will sign a longer-term deal, probably for less money per year, but we would like that security. ESPN and Fox were like, nah, we're good. We can wait.
And also, Andy, after a pandemic, you're like, you know, we'd really love to get this figured out and kind of know what that number is going to look like as we try to financially start, like, get back on track here too.
And ESPN and Fox, with good reason, lots of stuff changing. There are other sports rights coming up that they have to pay for. There are other leagues' rights coming up that they have to pay for, the Big Ten specifically, that Fox and ESPN both would like to keep in business with. Mm-hmm. And so if you're the Big 12, that's a tough spot to be in. If you are Texas and Oklahoma, though, and you look at your balance sheet peers like Ohio State, like LSU, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, like Michigan, you're saying, wait a second, we're not getting treated the way the Big Ten or the SEC gets treated. And they have evidence of this, because the SEC just redid a deal with ESPN. Remember, the best game of the week in the SEC is on CBS still, and the biggest bargain in college sports, CBS pays $55 million a year for the best game of the week in the SEC and the SEC championship game at the end of the year. That package is worth like $300 million, which is what ESPN's going to pay for it. Yep. Starting in 2024, the framework of that deal between the SEC and ESPN was made during a pandemic 4 years before it was going to start.
Yep.
So if you're Oklahoma and Texas, you're going, whoa, they treat the SEC very differently. Maybe we should be in the SEC.
Well, and like anything else, right? Like you look at the history of Big 12 realignment, and the ones that left, they left for money and they left for stability. Now, in this case, you would be leaving the SEC for money. Of course, Texas and Oklahoma would be creating the instability by being the ones that leave.
Correct. But they would get stability themselves.
Sure.
They would never have to worry about this. They would never have a situation again where networks were like, nope, we don't want to negotiate with you guys right now. They would be able to dictate terms. Now, not within the conference anymore. They can't boss around Alabama, Georgia, Florida, LSU, Auburn. You can't do that.
No.
But they also don't have to worry about potential conference implosion every so often. So
implosion.
It is going to be a wild, wild next few months in college sports if even an inkling of this is true, which, based on what we've heard, it's true. This is being explored. This is going on. This is going to get really weird. So stay with us here at The Athletic. Listen to the Andy Staples Show. Listen to the one true podcast, the Athletic's Big 12 podcast, which, Max, you co-host that one. That's going to be fun.
But, buddy, we were taping one in the middle of all this today and had to toss it in the trash because, you know, I don't think people want to hear my thoughts on NIL right now. I think we got to pivot.
Well, you're going to hear a lot about realignment these next few weeks, and we're going to stay on top of this story, and we'll see where it goes, because if this is happening, it's going to affect just about everybody in college sports, and it's going to be a really, really interesting next few weeks before the actual football gets played.
As you know, Andy, and we've talked about this looming day for a long time, is this the first domino in the run here to super conferences in college football? It's you can't say that's out of the question after the news of the SEC potentially trying to go to 16.
Well, and that's one of the questions that we need to get into, Max, because we need to talk about, you know, everybody's like, oh, four super conferences. If this happens, there are only two super conferences. Then there's two other ones that are kind of, you know, middle class, and then everybody else. Like the Big mm-hmm. Ten and the SEC would be the only two super conferences if Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC.
Correct. Yeah. No, I mean, you're right. And maybe, you know, maybe part of that right now for the SEC is saying, let's not sit back and see how this goes. Let's go get the two biggest properties and not let them go somewhere else. And we'll set the tone for what the future is here by having the biggest, baddest league in all of the land.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the other entity that could come into play here, because I'm curious. We've gotten no confirmation on this, but if I'm Texas or Oklahoma, I would at least explore this just for leverage's sake. If you're Texas, there's only two places you can actually go, because the Longhorn Network is an ESPN property. You can only go to a league where ESPN either owns all the rights or enough of the rights that you could roll the Longhorn Network into that rights package. So they can only go to the SEC or the ACC.
Right.
So, you know, if I'm the ACC, I want in on this bad, because they're locked into a TV deal that runs through the 2035-2036 school year. The gap is only going to get bigger for them between the Big Ten, the SEC, and them. And so you would want them. Jim Phillips, the new commissioner, was very open on Wednesday at ACC Media Days about they want Notre Dame to join as a football member.
Yeah.
But the problem is, with the 12-team playoff coming, Notre Dame has zero incentive to be anything but an independent in football. So what would the next step be? Try to get Texas and Oklahoma. But honestly, if the SEC wants them and they want the SEC, I don't see how the ACC could get in on that deal either.
Well, and I think, Andy, when you go walk around the campuses of Norman and Austin, they've always had a very Atlantic vibe, haven't they?
Well, I mean, as Atlantic as Louisville.
I suppose as Atlantic as Notre Dame. Sure, sure. No, you're right. I think that the Longhorn Network piece of this, I think a decade ago, is probably seen as sort of this big albatross that makes Texas a really sort of unique school to make a deal with. But with the way things have been set up since then, yeah, you're right. You probably could. As much as, like, reminder, Texas is bringing in $15 million a year off their third-tier rights, and Oklahoma's bringing in an extra $7 million a year off that. That is a trade-off of doing this, to give that up and just say, we will take our 1/16th slice of the revenue pie here in this conference. But, you know,
but when
you
put it all on paper, money.
You still make more money and aren't, I mean, to the decision makers at the top here of those two schools, maybe all of the trade-offs and sacrifices are absolutely worth it.
We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
One question I keep getting is, Texas and Oklahoma rule the Big 12. Mm-hmm. If you go to the SEC, you do not rule. You are one of many superpowers in that league. And so your voice is not nearly as loud as it would be. I mean, you essentially would be like Texas A&M, which may be shouting into the void right now, because maybe right. there are other schools in the SEC. Now, the rules of the SEC say you need a 75% yes vote to extend invitations to new members. So they would need 11 yes votes. We know there's a no vote at Texas A&M. I'm not sure anybody else says no. Like, maybe Missouri, former Big 12 member, says no. Maybe Arkansas, former Southwest Conference member, says no. But like, if you're Missouri and you got saved from the Big 12 by the SEC, and SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey comes to you and goes, are you really going to vote no on this? Are you going to look him in the eye and be like, yeah, we're voting no on this. We don't want this thing that will make the conference even better.
Oh, big difference between what do we want to vote on this and what are we going to vote on this? I think when it comes down to it, you're probably right that I think Greg Sankey's probably going to win that staring contest with the members of his league. And he's probably, you know, he's been put in a really unique position now because of how this has leaked out, that while I'm sure he has had some strong words for the folks in College Station today, I'm curious to see sort of how he does also you know, rally support within their league for such a dramatic move.
Yeah, and I don't know that he needs to rally too much. I think most of the schools would be on board with this. You know, it's funny because they were already kind of clamoring. There was a big group of them that wanted to change the way they scheduled. Well, they're going to change the way they schedule. I mean, you go 16, you're looking at a four-pod system, four pods of four teams.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you feel like that is the more logical future?
Oh, yeah.
Than a couple mega divisions here?
Yeah, four pods. You play the three teams in your pod. You have one fixed inter-pod rival that you play every year, and then you play an entire pod each year. So the members of pod A, let's say you are Georgia and you're in pod A with Florida and South Carolina and Tennessee, for example. I don't know if that's exactly how it would go, but then Auburn is your inter-pod rival that you would play every year. And then you would play all of pod B that year as well. And then the next year you would play all of pod C, and the following year you would play all of pod D. So you would play every team in the league every 3 years, at least.
So in your vision of this, is this just the scheduling setup and you have no divisions?
That's an 8-team schedule right there. They're an eight game conference.
But I'm saying who goes to the conference title game?
Number one versus number two, which right. I mean, okay. you need to do that with the way the playoff's going to be structured. And sure. And by the way, Greg Sankey, member of the working group that created the 12-team playoff proposal, also Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby in that working group as well, but potentially could be making a move that takes it from five power conferences to four. And remember, the four highest ranked conference champs get byes, not the five. The four highest ranked conference champs get byes.
We are.
It's almost like
getting,
all this was kind of
deep
set
into the future
for,
here, buddy. Man, what a day! Like it
blows
just
your mind.
Still wild for me to like connect all those dots. Yeah,
I don't. But see, I don't know what the chicken is and the egg is in that situation. Did Texas and Oklahoma look at that and say, this might work better for us? Or did Greg Sankey say, look, all of this sea change is going on throughout college sports. We may as well change everything.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's funny because Sankey and Bowlesby worked together on that committee. And then also this is happening. And, you know, my sense from talking to people in the Big 12 today, and you would expect like a lot of fury or indignation or even just like a weariness of like, are we really, you know, doing this again? And honestly, Andy, a lot of the feedback I got was just like puzzlement, just like, why now? Like what?
Yeah.
Why do this?
Well, and that's the thing that I kept thinking, because I actually got a question for my mailbag this week, and it came in on Tuesday night, and it was, is there another round of realignment coming? And the first thought I had was, well, only if Oklahoma or Texas wanted to do anything, but they don't want to, so no.
Right.
And then Wednesday, there you go. They do. So why now? I mean, I feel like we've connected the dots pretty well. I think that TV thing where you see that they are treated differently in the Big 12 than the SEC is treated, and you have a chance to maybe join the SEC, why not do that? Why mm-hmm. not secure your future? Even look, Texas and Oklahoma will... they can make their own future. They can make their own future secure. But maybe they're tired of carrying it from a brand standpoint. Maybe they'd like some help.
So they are not, you know, as much as they hate each other, they're getting along okay right now. But it's interesting when you think about, I sort of felt that way. My initial reaction was, look, like OU's got the throne. 6 straight conference titles. Who like they're on the same level as Clemson in the ACC. Ohio State in the Big Ten, you know, Bama in the SEC, of they're going to go to the playoff every year if we kind of stay the course here, right? Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to think about how they're actually, they sort of need each other, because if Texas were to leave the Big 12, then as you and I talked about earlier today, then what is Oklahoma running? What is it the throne of, right? If Texas is not in that conference. And I think you would say that probably vice versa.
Yeah, I would. They do need to be together. Now, what makes this very interesting, and it's funny because the statements from everyone who may be involved, they're very vague. The statements from the potentially aggrieved parties are very specific and very, very yeah. clear.
Yeah,
we know what Texas A&M thinks. Oklahoma State released a statement saying, we're not thrilled with any of this.
We are going to aggressively defend our stance here, which is, as you remember from back in the day, they will not be alone in the Big 12 in fighting for their future.
And really, but there's no room for them in the SEC or the ACC if these guys go. I mean, it's no. Texas and Oklahoma get the last 2 seats on the boat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, man, I'm still sort of trying to like put my head back together on all of this. Like, did you, as much as you, like you say, yeah, if these two want to make a move, then that starts the chain reaction again. But did you really believe that this day would come this soon?
No, I didn't. Because I thought, because the reasons had changed, the reasons for realignment last time were very clear and very defined.
Yep.
It was territory acquisition to increase conference footprints so leagues could either bolster their cable networks or start a cable network.
Yep.
Like that's why the SEC went and got Texas A&M. That's 10 million cable homes right there. The reason they took Missouri and didn't make any effort to go after Clemson or Florida State or a bigger brand was because they already had teams in those states. From a cable standpoint, you wanted a team from a state that you didn't have a team in. So that's 2 million more cable households in the state of Missouri. That's real money that you can count when you create a network. But that was the peak of the cable industry.
Sure was.
Bundles unraveling, cords being cut. Now, territory acquisition doesn't matter. Now it is purely brand acquisition. If you can get a big brand, great. Otherwise, you're just taking on another mouth to feed. And we learned that with the Big 12 when they did that dog and pony show where they had everybody right. in the group of 5 audition for them. And then we're like, wait, no, none of you add enough to justify adding you.
Oh, wait, we did the math and obviously we're not doing this. Yeah.
Right. So that's the part that is interesting, because there just weren't that many programs out there that would justify any sort of move. But Texas and Oklahoma separately justify it, together really justify it.
For sure. And I'm going to be interested to hear If they get to the finish line in this, which I'm going to still say if, I'm not going to say when, but if they get to the finish line on this.
With realignment, always say if. Remember,
for sure,
they were all going to the Pac-10 until they weren't.
what's the old thing Chip Brown used to put at the end of our story? Stay tuned, you know? Stay tuned. But
that's right.
I'm going to be very curious to hear the justification from Texas and from Oklahoma beyond, you know, slapping that three-letter brand on all their jerseys, right? I am curious. And some of this stuff doesn't matter as much as you'd think it would. Like the academic piece, I'm sure they can talk themselves into the SEC being, you know, just what like right on par with what they expect. But I am curious, do you think on their end of it, it's more about just beyond the money? Because I got a lot of questions for people in the Big 12 today about competitively, why would they want this setup in a 12-team playoff? Isn't the 12-team playoff making our lives easier? I am curious to sort of hear the justification of why they think just overall their lives are going to be a lot better. And I don't know, is recruiting a big part of that? Is just trying to take away some of those advantages from the people they're competing against by gaining those advantages? Is that the biggest thing? I mean, where do you think they ultimately will try to sell this?
Remember when Oklahoma had maybe the best offense in the history of college football and lost the Rose Bowl to Georgia?
I remember some overtimes. Yeah, I do.
Had maybe the best offense in college football again. And I don't mean that year. I mean ever. Mm-hmm. And they lost to Alabama.
I do.
Remember when Oklahoma was pretty good and they couldn't even stay on the field against LSU?
Yeah, that's true. That's also true.
You put that SEC patch on your jersey, those players will come to you. They mm-hmm. will play for you. Players like that will play for you.
Well, and look, the SEC plays Big 12 ball now too, so it's not as hard of a transition as it used to be. They're used to it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's the Big 12 if the Big 12 had a bunch of elite defensive linemen.
And DCs and all that. Yeah, for sure. $2 million DCs to go with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you look at Oklahoma, they actually have some really good defensive linemen now. They've been working this way already. Mm-hmm. This could just be the next step in that evolution. You know, Texas doesn't make draft picks. The biggest problem for Texas, they don't develop these high-profile recruits into draft picks. Well, guess what? These SEC schools make draft picks better than anybody else.
It's true. So I told you I had just a stupid hot take for this. And
ready.
This is a good moment for it. I know there are a lot of reasons to change conferences and that football doesn't dictate everything that goes on in university. However, Andy, is it possible? Most of everything. Andy, do you think it's possible in some small or large way that at Oklahoma and Texas, part of this is motivated by saying, you know what? Nick Saban can't coach forever. What if we could run college football for the next decade by getting into this league?
It's entirely possible. Oklahoma has a very good coach who's very young. Think about that.
Yep.
Think about Lincoln Riley in his 20th year at Oklahoma. If he's been in the SEC for 13 of those years. Suddenly, that feels like a pretty formidable opponent. I mean, he's already a formidable opponent, but think about that. Because if he can win, I don't know that he wins at a similar clip because obviously competition level becomes tougher.
Right.
But they have shown a willingness to compete with whoever they need to compete with. And here's the other piece of it. You know, Texas has always had its nose in the air about the SEC. You know, the thought has been they will never go to the SEC because they feel like that
because they win with
bring
integrity
themselves down to the SEC's level in recruiting. Well, with NIL now, look, you can give money to the players. Mm-hmm. Your boosters can pay your players. They're not supposed to pay them to pick your school, but once they get there,
they
can give them whatever they want. So
they will. Yeah.
Yeah, of course they will. But if that's the case, well, Texas should kick ass in the SEC. Let's be honest.
Right. Right. What I mean, you saw it at A&M in 2012 with the stadium and Johnny Manny and all that. Look at how that move rallies everyone to pull out the checkbooks.
Oh, they put a huge addition on their stadium. I mean, yeah, they changed their athletic department. They changed their identity. Now that's why they're so mad, because suddenly the thing is, it's interesting to me is the way Texas would enter the league, if they do enter the league, A&M would not be little brother anymore. That would not, it'd be more like the little brother who grew up and started lifting weights, and big bro comes home and is like, oh crap, you can probably beat me up about half the time now.
But you know what? At least he's coming home and they would be able to play each other again.
Yes. Yes. I mean, that's the thing. Like, A&M saying, we don't want this to happen, is basically saying, we don't want to play you guys. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be so good.
It would. I have to think that again, it's not all about this, but I have to think, if you're Lincoln Riley or Steve Sarkisian, like, you at least have like direct evidence. You can go look at, okay, what has this been like for Texas A&M so far? Those two schools are recruiting against A&M for elite players all the time. Now, you could Texas fall into kind of the same deal where you're kind of winning 8 to 9 games, you know, and having a really hard time breaking through? That's certainly possible with all the instability they've had. But I think you've seen what Jimbo has done.
10-2 and puts you in the playoff, and they're going to be years, Max, when 9-3 in that SEC would put you in the playoff, in the 12-team playoff.
It's true. It's true. Yeah, if you can just be a pod champ, like, you got a shot, right? I mean, but
I can't wait for those t-shirts.
Pod champs. But yeah, no, I think that you could look at that and say, okay, it could be that there's that clear level of difficulty. But I think what we're seeing with Jimbo Fisher is if you align it all and maximize all the resources and get the best players there, like, then Oklahoma and even Texas, I think you're probably right, can take it to a level that they can. Are they already bumping? Is Oklahoma already bumped the ceiling here? Do they need to make this kind of a move to go to an even higher level?
We'll see, because like you said earlier, this could also backfire, and the hyper-competitive nature of the SEC makes it harder to ascend to that level, because yep, now you have LSU, now you have Auburn, now you have, like, Ole Miss, when they get good, can be pretty good. So that's going to be a fascinating thing if this happens. We got to qualify this with if this happens, because yep. Max, if you'd have told me when I woke up Wednesday morning that we'd be talking about this Wednesday night, I would not have believed you.
I would have done my whole day differently. I would have got like a workout in the morning. I would have sort of scheduled around this mess a lot better, you know?
this is because I didn't think it would ever happen again, like 2010 and 2011, where it was just mm-hmm. one thing after a boom, 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 boom. And if these moves get made, if Texas and Oklahoma, and it's not just if they leave for the SEC, if they leave the Big 12 for anywhere, if either one does it for anywhere, the dominoes are going to go berserk. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Here's my question. If you're the Big 12, you got to shore up, right?
Yeah.
Or, okay, let me ask you this. If you're the Pac-12, is there anybody you want who's in the Big 12?
Oh, that's a good question. I would think so. This is certainly a fascinating time to be a brand new college commissioner during all this, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm curious what his view of the landscape is, being brand new at this.
George Kliavkoff, yeah. By the way, new Pac-12 commissioner. Hell of a tweet on Wednesday.
Hell of a tweet.
Talking about how interesting this day has been for him. I don't think Larry Scott would have said that.
Welcome to the business. Yeah, I guess, is that where you start? Do you start with the Big Ten or the Pac-12 saying,
okay,
what fits us?
The Big Ten seems the most immune to dominoes. If you're the Big Ten, you're still making a ton of money. Maybe the SEC leapfrogs you if they add Oklahoma and Texas, but you're still number two and a close number two if that's the case. And I'm not sure adding anybody does anything for you, because who would you add who really moves the meter at that point? Unless you could raid the ACC and get some brands out of the ACC, but I don't think you can do that. North Carolina's
talking about
not
who
going
could
anywhere.
The Big 12 raid?
The Big Ten.
The Big Ten. Okay, got you.
Like, I would see the Big Ten staying at 14 there because I just don't know who they get unless they could pull another like charter member of the ACC like they did with Maryland. Right. But I just don't see that happening. That other group seems to want to really stick together. So,
yeah, and Maryland and Rutgers have just set the bar so high. You know, that's tough.
Exactly. So,
but
I don't
but
know
do
what
you think
there.
In the Big 12 standpoint, I think like in their ideal world, you get what, Houston on line one and
UCF,
SMU or somebody else on line
Cincinnati.
Two.
Cincinnati.
Right, Cincinnati, whatever, sure. But can you do that? Can you do that and just close up shop, or are the vultures flying over you before that?
You got to move fast. You got to backfill fast, or the vultures will get you. And I think UCF, Cincinnati, from a brand standpoint, from a recent football success standpoint, immediately you get those. Houston is a logical fit. Now, you could go to 12 at that point if you wanted to. I'm not sure it matters how many at that point, and you might want to go a little larger. So, you know, who would you take after that? You know, who's 12 if you did that?
Look, I mean, SMU's been about as successful as Texas recently. And Tulsa's pretty good.
Fit.
Why don't you just slip those two in and just call them the new Texas and the new OU, you know?
Ponies and the Cougars, you got them. And then, you know, you would have TCU. I mean, the Iron Skillet game would be a conference game again.
Yeah.
How about that? So, yeah, it'd be...
And then Matt Campbell runs the league for a decade because he didn't have to go anywhere. Iowa State can just keep winning Big 12 titles, you know?
Well, yeah, the Iowa State, Cincinnati, and Iowa State, UCF Big 12 title games would be epic.
They would, yeah.
But
and I think Mike Gundy would get one of these too at some point, you know?
Here's my question. If you're the ACC, do you try to get to 16? If you're the Pac-12, do you try to get closer to 16? I'm not sure 16 is the magic number everybody thinks it is.
Okay.
But what do you do? Like, if you're the ACC, you're going to have pressure to add West Virginia and then add somebody else.
Right.
But is that worth it to you? I don't know if that's worth it.
Well, worth it in which way?
Financially. Do you make more money by doing that? Otherwise, don't do it.
Right. Yeah, I don't... You're probably right. I think, I don't know, everyone kind of loses their minds a little bit when you get into it and everybody wants to feel like they won this thing. But do you really have to go to 16 for 16's sake?
No, you don't. And this is a case where people really get their feelings hurt because you find out what you are during realignment.
Yeah.
You find out what other people think about you. Like Kansas, it was a slap in the face to Kansas during that first round when they realized all of our great basketball tradition and no one cares.
Right.
Like we are in the Mountain West if this thing falls apart.
We're having to call the Mountain West and say, what's up? Yeah. What do you think of us? I mean, yeah, you're right. It's wild. And that's when we were going through the Pac-16 exercise. Yeah. I think that the outcomes there are wild.
Yeah. And so there would be a ton of dominoes. I mean, there would be dominoes that would affect the Big 12, obviously, the American, probably the Mountain West. Because if you're like, we were just adding teams from the American. What would you not consider Boise State? Would you not consider San Diego State?
Seems like Boise State would consider it based on their recent flirting. Yeah.
Would you not consider BYU?
Sure. Sure. I'm pretty sure UConn's looking for a league.
Yeah. I don't know the Big 12's interested there, but you know, there are so many different possibilities now. And look, Max, we're going to have a lot of time to discuss this. Well, maybe not a lot, but we're going to have from now until we get something definitive settled with Texas and Oklahoma. Either they're somewhere new, they're staying where they are, or they're a different somewhere new. But we're going to have a lot to talk about. So are you prepared to do a realignment podcast pretty much every day for the next 2 months?
You know what I am prepared for, and I think this will start in earnest tomorrow morning. Like, this is going to get pretty spicy, is it not? I mean, there's just a lot of people who are not going to want this to happen.
People are going to be big, big mad about this.
Oh, yeah.
Big. And we're going to get quotes that are on press releases that are nastier than any of like some of the backroom stuff that we wish we could hear.
For sure. Oh, for sure.
That's one of the more beautiful aspects of realignment
finally find out what people really think of the Texas Longhorns too. You know, it's about time to really let that open, you know?
You mean
I'm kidding. Everyone hates them.
We're gonna see this.
Hey, in the bylaws, Andy's throwing me an offensive gesture right now. What are the SEC bylaws on taunting? That I think that's a topic too. You know, for
I believe.
Pod.
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think from a more local to me standpoint. I believe you can gator chomp at your own bench, or you can gator chomp at Florida fans, but you cannot gator chomp at opposing fans, or you cannot bark at opposing fans, or you cannot. I'm trying to think. Who else has hand signals?
And I don't know
fans?
If they've done the whole rules presentation. Can you throw shoes this year or no?
Shoe throwing still against the rules.
That's still
frowned upon in the SEC. Yes.
ACC, the Texas and Oklahoma have got a lot to learn if they're going to make this. Can you really process the possibility that I think that's another piece of confusion in all this is what are we talking about here? Are we talking about next year? Are we talking about, a few years down the road here? But could you imagine if this actually came true next fall?
Well, here's the thing, Max. It seems implausible right now that it would be ready to go by next fall. But if you're going to get a divorce, you ain't living in the same house for 3 years. At least I hope not.
Right.
So this is one of those things where if it goes down, they figure out a way to make it happen sooner rather than later. Because otherwise, if you thought the realignment phase was awkward, just wait for the lame duck phase.
Oh, buddy. I covered that Nebraska's last year in the old Big 12. And pretty eventful, but nothing that compares to what it would be like if everyone in the league has turned on Texas and Oklahoma, but they're still there.
So if you're a fan of an affected Big 12 school, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you're dealing with this and that your school has to go through this. If you're a fan of Texas or Oklahoma, I don't know how much you actually like this or dislike this, but I speak on behalf of everyone else when I say, let's freaking go. Realignment news is the best news because people just
Andy
yell at each other
to the listener. Andy is absolutely beaming right now. So here we go.
It's on. It is on like Donkey Kong.
Realignment back in business.